Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So many things are happening on a just daily basis, and we want to kind of help to bring things together and kind of just talk about what's going on. I mean, right now, the nation, I mean, I guess you can say we are at war. I mean, we have sent, I think anytime you send military personnel to strike other targets, bombs, shooting, I think I would say war, definitely act of aggression, no less. But this is what's going on. They're attacking ISIS in Iraq and in Syria and doing some interesting things. We're going to hear from the president, interview that he just had with 60 Minutes, where he talks about some of the things that they're trying to accomplish. But these are really important times that we're living in. You know, we had another beheading that occurred, and we're going to be talking about that. But this time it wasn't in Syria. It wasn't in Iraq. It was in the United States. And we're going to talk about that because we are here at that moment. And if you're not awake, this would be a good time to be awake right now.
Yeah.
This would be a good time to be alert. Not fearful, not fretful, but definitely alert and paying attention. And hopefully we're going to get the chance to talk about New Jersey. A teen in New Jersey is praying, and they're actually suing because they want to be able to put God back into the Pledge of Allegiance. An atheist group has sued to take it out, and they're saying, hey, listen, you don't have to say it, but don't take away my privilege of being able to say the Pledge of Allegiance with one nation under God. And so if you've been listening or watching to any of our segments on rediscovering God in America, we talk about that from the very beginning, there really wasn't a separation of God in the public square, if you will. It's always happened. Our first president took the oath of office with a Bible in his hand, kissed it, and said, "So help me God." And there's tons of stories and things like that that have occurred throughout our nation. And so no one has a right to take that away when you can just, if you don't want to say it,
just don't say it.
Yeah. No one's making you say it. But very interesting how that is playing out. And so we're proud of her. Her name is Samantha Jones, and we're going to talk more about that. Also, the Beckett Fund is working with them, and those are the same folks that worked with Hobby Lobby when they won their historic landmark case in the Supreme Court that said they had to have all this contraceptives and all this stuff that would basically, you know, abort babies. And they said, you know, we're not going to pay for that in our business. That's not what we're about. And the Supreme Court ruled in their favor. So a lot of things have transpired. But we want to go right talking about this because right now we're living in some really no time in history, really, have you seen what's happening, like what's going on right now in the world today? I mean, there's so much conflict, there's wars, there's so many things uprising, so many things happening all at the same time. And all the while, the economy is being held together with a Band-Aid and is on life support. And according to the Shemitah and according to other other prophetic words, the Band-Aid's about to break. And get ready. And so what we want to do is be alert and bring a biblical perspective to what's happening, because we like to say that it's not just important to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news that you know. And so you need to be alert, you need to pray, you need to be informed so that you can make wise decisions as a citizen, as a Christian, and as a Christian for sure, you can pray, which is the most important thing to do. But just right now, there have been airstrikes. The United States, apparently, too, they're using, Steve, some new airplanes. I'm not too familiar with them, but these new combat-ready airplanes, and they're pretty impressed with what they've been able to do. They've been able to take out certain targets, and they're attacking the ISIS wallet and their ways of getting revenue and funds. But I want you to listen to this report from CBN as they bring us up to speed on some of the things that are occurring, and we're going to continue to discuss more about this. Watch this.
Warplanes from the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates have struck again in Syria, this time hitting a dozen ISIS-controlled oil facilities. The mobile refineries generate $2 million a day for the Islamic militants.
The only language understood by killers like this is the language of force.
At the UN, the president vowed to use a broad coalition to take down ISIS, hoping that Britain will soon join the airstrikes. He also emphasized that the U.S. will not send in troops, hoping instead to support Syrians and Iraqis fighting to take back their communities.
We will use our military might in a campaign of airstrikes to roll back ISIL. We will train and equip forces fighting against these terrorists on the ground. We will work to cut off their financing and to stop the flow of fighters into and out of the region.
The president presided over a UN Security Council session on Wednesday, where world leaders moved quickly against ISIS.
The draft resolution has been adopted unanimously.
A new resolution requires nations to track suspected terrorist fighters, prosecute those who travel for training, and share airline passenger information. U.S. leaders are highlighting an earlier airstrike that they say disrupted an imminent plot to blow up American passenger jets by the Al-Qaeda-linked Khorasan terror group.
We had good information, specific information, that they were nearing the end of planning and preparations for an attack on Western targets, either in Europe or the U.S. homeland. That wasn't necessarily all clear, but we knew that they were getting very, very close.
Officials say the group was developing explosives that could not be detected by airport screening machines.
They had a plan in place, people to do it, and explosives to execute it.
Meanwhile, another videotaped beheading by extremists supporting ISIS. The French government has confirmed the death of a French mountaineering guide. The radicals released a video of his death, denouncing France for refusing to stop airstrikes in Iraq. Heather Sell, CBN News.
Thanks, Heather. Well, we've waited too long for this, but we're finally doing it. For that, I'm grateful. And I think that bunch of thugs running around in their pickup trucks and with their machine guns will find that when they're dealing with the combined air power of a number of nations, they're going to know that the game has changed dramatically. Well, joining us now with more on the growing threat in Iraq and Syria is CBN News terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck. Eric, what do we know about this Khorasan group of terrorists? We haven't heard too much about them. Suddenly they're a big threat. Who are they?
And Pat, very shadowy group. Now, they've been around for a while. Look, intel reports about this Khorasan group probably crossed President Obama's desk a year, even 2 years ago. Now, apparently, Ayman al-Zawahiri, he's al-Qaeda's top overall leader. He's based in the tribal regions of Pakistan. Apparently, he dispatched this group. Pat, it's made up of battle-hardened veteran al-Qaeda fighters, and Zawahiri dispatched them to Syria. In specific, to recruit young Westerners who are flocking to Syria to join the jihad, recruit young Westerners to attack the West. Now, what this Khorasan group is doing, Pat, and why they are so dangerous is, number one, as I said, battle-hardened al-Qaeda guys, veterans, but number two, they're working closely with al-Qaeda's Yemen branch to come up with ingenious new bombs that can slip through American airline security and European airline security. These guys are obsessed, Pat, with hijacking or blowing up airliners. It doesn't matter how much we harden our airline security, they're not going to stop trying to penetrate. They want airplanes because of the physical damage it can cause, the psychological terror, obviously, and the economic terror. You can really hurt the airline industry if you have another successful hijacking and attack, God forbid, like we had on 9/11. They saw the results of 9/11, and they are obsessed with topping that.
Well, now, Eric, it's been reported, okay, we did airstrikes, and that frustrated their plans. What do you know about the success of these airstrikes in Syria?
Pretty successful, Pat, so far. Apparently, some of these Khorasan group leaders have been killed. We have not confirmed that yet, but some of them were targeted. And according to U.S. officials, look, we've pushed back. Apparently, an attack was imminent, according to U.S. officials. Now we've, in the very least, pushed back their planning and hit a few of their main targets there in Syria. That's a good thing. We also hit ISIS targets in Syria, which, look, in terms of planning against the West, Pat, over the weekend, an ISIS leader released an audio tape threatening attacks against America, Europe, Australia, and Canada. In specific, he called for lone wolf attacks for young Western Muslims here in America to rise up and attack American targets. That is a big concern, especially with the airstrikes now against ISIS targets, Pat. I'm concerned that we could see some lone wolf ISIS sympathizer types attack targets here in America. Look, remember Fort Hood. Remember the Boston bombers. Just a few committed Islamic jihadists can cause a lot of damage.
Larry, I just can't conceive of the terror that would come about if an airplane blows up over the Atlantic or even over the continental United States, and it's known as a terrorist thing. I mean, this would freeze air travel. People wouldn't want to get near an airplane, and that would be a devastating blow to the United States economy.
It would, Pat. Look, and that is the goal of the jihadists. They want to top 9/11. That's Khorasan. That's Al-Qaeda. But ISIS... When we talk about ISIS, Pat, and their targets against the homeland, it's these smaller scale attacks, these lone wolf style attacks, which can also cause a lot of terror. I'll give you an example. In Australia last week, a plot was broken up by a group of ISIS sympathizers. What they wanted to do was kidnap random Australians on the street, just women, children, random Australian citizens, Pat, kidnap them and behead them. Talk about causing terror. Imagine walking down the street to catch the bus to go to work in the morning, and a group of terrorists grabs you, takes you in a car. You end up in a basement somewhere with a video camera on you getting beheaded. That is a major threat, this kind of self-starter attack, which would cause major terror, which would grab world headlines. That's what ISIS is looking to do. Al-Qaeda, still going for the big one, but ISIS, these lone wolves, these ISIS sympathizers across the West, smaller scale, but still deadly attacks, and the psychological terror, the terror of beheadings, of killing women and children, of, God forbid, seizing an elementary school. That's big-time terror, and that's what they're looking to do.
Eric, thank you so much for these incisive reports. We'll look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much. Eric Stackelbeck.
That was a report there on CBN. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this and talk more about what is happening, as well as the four-part strategy that the president has employed here towards ISIS. And we're going to talk about it. Was this the right strategy? Because look what's happening. You just heard this report about ISIS and about what we're doing to attack and disrupt what, you know, what's being said and, you know, what's being done. But what's being said by the president, I believe he spoke this at the United Nations, and he's repeatedly been saying these same things in different interviews. But he talks about basically a four-point strategy, not calling it a strategy, but basically, this is what it is. He says the first thing is we're going to roll back ISIS. Now, I don't know what that means, roll back ISIS. I mean, I'd like to probably hear words like destroy, eradicate, get rid of, something more definitive, you know, something that says they're going to be gone. But then you hear stuff like we're going to train train other fighters, like the Kurds and all these. It's like one report says it's going to take a year to get those guys ready, yeah, the Iraqi army. And my question is, are we going to retrain the same Iraqi soldiers that you guys went to see,
the
Marines?
The thing that we did, that we're going to train them so they can take
again?
Over. Well, the thing is, though, is like we're so blind to what happened in history. It's the same process that we tried to do to empower a nation of Iraq to be able to take care of their own. And it's just like, look at what happened. And we're trying to do it again with an increasing terrorist enemy. And it's just like,
think about it. You did two tours. Mm-hmm. And how many of our men and women, soldiers, went on the front lines for us? Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about training them yet again. Mm-hmm. But my question is, didn't we train them the first time? And then when ISIS came, what did they do? I mean, reports are that they laid down and said, oh, no, never mind. We don't want to fight you.
Gave them all the weapons that
we gave them. Yeah, here are our weapons. Yeah. Here. So if we train them again,
arming them again?
I think that's that doesn't work. That didn't work. Then you hear about we're going to cut off their finances. Okay, well, you know, they do get $2 million a day. They've taken over oil fields and you know they're making that on the black market. But we want to cut off their finances. Then you say we want to cut off their recruiting efforts. Which people that are leaving this nation, the United States, Europe, all over the world, really, they're leaving to go fight and join ISIS. To me, that sounds like a strategy of containment. Let's cut back their limbs a little bit, but let's not get to the root of the situation, which is destroying ISIS, who's waging war on everyone that's not them. I mean, think about it. They're persecuting Christians. They're cutting children's heads off. I mean, they're doing all these heinous acts. And we're talking about containment. You don't contain a disease. You destroy a disease. You eradicate a disease. You don't contain it. And we're going to put our servicemen and women in harm's way, although we say that there's no boots on the ground. And, you know, at one time the president said that, you know, ISIS was a, compared them to a JV team. And now, they're not a JV team. These people are doing real threats, are doing real things. Mm-hmm. They're hurting real people. And just last night he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. And he, you know, it came out in this interview that the United States misjudged the rise of the Islamic State. I want you to listen right from the president himself as he's being interviewed and what he had to say regarding ISIS and our response to them. Watch this.
How did they end up where they are in control of so much territory? Was that a complete surprise to you?
Well, I think our head of the intelligence community, Jim Clapper, has acknowledged that I think they underestimated what had been taking place in Syria. Essentially what happened with ISIL was that you had Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which was a vicious group, but our Marines were able to quash with the help of Sunni tribes. They went back underground. But over the past couple of years, during the chaos of the Syrian civil war, where essentially you have huge swaths of the country that are completely ungoverned, they were able to reconstitute themselves and take advantage of that chaos and attract foreign fighters who believed in their jihadist nonsense and traveled everywhere from Europe to the United States, to Australia, to other parts of the Muslim world, converging on Syria. And so this became ground zero for jihadists around the world. And they've been very savvy in terms of their social media. In some cases, you have old remnants of Saddam Hussein's military that had been expunged from the Iraqi military, which gave them some traditional military capacity and not just terrorist capacity. And this is one of the challenges that we're going to have generally is where you've got states that are failing or in the midst of civil war, these kinds of organizations thrive. That's why it's so important for us to recognize part of our solution here is going to be military. We just have to push them back and shrink their space and go after their command and control and their capacity and their weapons and their fueling and cut off their financing and work to eliminate the flow of foreign fighters. But what we also have to do is we have to come up with political solutions in Iraq and Syria in particular, but in the Middle East generally, that arise at an accommodation between Sunni and Shia populations that right now are the biggest cause of conflict, not just in the Middle East, but in the world.
You mentioned James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence. I mean, he didn't just say that we underestimated ISIL. He said we overestimated the ability and the will of our allies, the Iraqi army, to fight.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
That's true. That's absolutely true. We overestimated their ability and their want to fight, but yet part of the strategy is to train the very people that don't have a desire to fight, and we overestimated their desire to do so. I mean, look at what's happening. He's saying that we need to militarily just go push them back, not eradicate them, push them back, and take care of their command control, their capacity for weapons and refueling. It's like we don't want to clamp the veins, you know, for the blood to flow. We want to take it out. Mm-hmm. We want to get rid of this thing. And I think about this because it's saying, look, this is so important. This is not, you know, and I'm not saying that the president thinks this is a game. I know he knows this is not a game. But you look at what's happening and the terror that's around the world. It's not just the United States. You know, Great Britain, England. You have all these nations now that are concerned about what's happening. Australia. And they're saying, listen, if we don't, we've been saying this on this program, that if you don't get rid of ISIS there, we're going to see them here on the homeland. We're going to see them in the home front. And now there are reports, and Eric Stackelbeck shared with us earlier, in regards to these warnings, these lone wolf warnings that are going out trying to stir Muslim extremists in the West to perform these lone wolf attacks here in the U.S. Well, listen, I want you to listen to the warning itself. This was a warning that was given. This is CNN, I believe, that's reporting this. But I want you to listen to the warning, this promotion, if you will, of lone wolf attacks. Watch this.
A threat made by a senior ISIS leader who for the first time specifically calls for lone wolf attacks inside Western countries.
Abi Muhammadin al-Adnani.
Rig the roads with explosives for them, attack their bases, raid their homes, cut off their heads, do not let them feel secure, remove their families from their homes, and thereafter blow up their homes.
Could this audio tape activate someone who's in ISIS or even a sympathizer inside the U.S. to conduct a lone wolf attack?
It certainly could. Al-Qaeda has tried it before and keeps pushing that message for individuals within the United States, within European countries, to simply act out. The Islamic State could be trying to do the same thing.
Well, guess what? That just happened a few days ago. A few days ago, there was a lone wolf attack, if you will. They're saying it's a workplace violence. I don't understand how Fort Hood was a workplace violence. And now they're saying that this was a workplace violence. But when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how someone, name of Alton Nolan, actually beheaded a coworker, an ex-coworker there at the plant. You don't want to miss this. We're going to discuss this more because he was reportedly a sympathizer, an ISIS sympathizer. We're talking about what's been going on with ISIS, our strikes. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the president and the strategy to what sounds like containment, not really eradicating dealing with ISIS, but trying to cut off their supply as opposed to getting rid of them. And also a threat that was made by reportedly ISIS leaders. Allegedly, we have the recording. You saw it. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure this is available for you on the Torch, where they're promoting lone wolf attacks on the West. And here we have a situation that just happened. And we're not saying necessarily this is, but we're going to allow you to connect the dots and for you to make your own decision. But you know what? If it has a tail and it looks like a horse, then it, you know, maybe it's a horse. Just look at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what happened. According to Fox News, a man by the name of Alton Nolan, we have a picture of him. He was a recent convert to Islam, and he was apparently trying to convert fellow coworkers there at the workplace, and with no success. And eventually, he wound up being fired. I don't know if there was a connection between his attempts to convert coworkers or not. That's unknown at the moment. But eventually, he was fired. And what happened after that was that this man went back to the workplace as an ex-employee now, a fired employee, and walked inside and began to stab viciously a woman by the name of Colleen Hafford. And not only did he stab her, but he cut her head off. He also attacked another employee. Her name is Tracy, I believe Tracy Johnson. And our prayers right now are with Oklahoma, the workers there at Vaughn's. It's a food distribution center. And our prayers are with that whole community. I mean, can you imagine in the United States of America that someone would come in and cut a fellow employee's heads off? What so happened was that the CEO of the company, who happened to be a reserve police officer, a reservist, pulled out his gun and shot him dead before he was able to perform, you know, any other murderous and hurtful attacks. And now, I'm sorry, he's not dead. Shot him. He's not dead. He is actually, he's been arrested, taken to the hospital. He's been arrested, and now he's being charged. And people are saying, you hear reports about workplace violence. I don't know. I mean, look at this. You know, IJ Review is reporting 33 things now. Listen to this. 33 things we learned about the Oklahoma beheading suspect and what his hand signal means will show you. I mean, we have a picture of some of his posts on Facebook. And watch this. Look at this. This is what it says here on his Facebook post. And this is, again, by IJ Review. We'll make this available for you. It says, Shalom Aleichem, O ye Muslims, Allah SWT says in the glorious Quran, for those who reject and hate what I have revealed, those who will say I'll obey part of what the Quran says their good deeds will be no effect at death or on the judgment day because you can't fulfill his good pleasure. This is like apparently, I guess, a verse out of the Quran. We also see on his Facebook page that he had pictures of Osama bin Laden posted on his Facebook page. Wow. And there's about 33 other things. One picture is reportedly him showing a hand signal that allegedly has something to do with ISIS. And again, all this is going to be there for your review, for your look at. But it's time for us to stop closing our eyes. It's time for us to take our head out of the sand. It's time to be alert and awake as to what is happening in our own nation.
Wow.
I mean, Senator Chavez just did an interview. He's from Utah, and he with Megyn Kelly on the Kelly File on Fox, and he said that 466,000 people have been detained in the last 351 days coming through the Mexican border. Right, coming through the borders, 466,000, but apparently another 157,000 have gone through that they've missed. In the same time period, 157,000, and they're unaccounted for, and nobody knows who these people are. Mm. Apparently, they come from 143 countries, some of them in the Middle East, and nobody knows what their intent was. And he says that on the day before September 11, 9-10, that four known suspects that have terror ties were captured crossing the border. And maybe we could have had another such attack just here, just near September 11th. It's time for us to stop playing games, stop playing political games, and start realizing that there is a real threat on our nation and that our borders basically have collapsed. And we're going to hopefully get a chance to talk about this in our second program. Don't forget that we're two programs back to back. Of course, you can always find out more at VFNTV.com and continue to stay tuned to VFNTV as we continue to share this week many of the things that the Lord has just showed us, things that we're going to help to connect the dots and hopefully shed some light and some perspective where we can become vigilant. You know, God doesn't want us as believers to be fearful and biting our fingernails and hiding now and start being scared of everyone you see that's different than you, okay? That's not what this is about. But this is about waking up to the reality that our borders are down. It's waking up to the reality that maybe we're starting to see judgment on a nation that's turned its back on God. Christians have turned. Think about it. Where there's another gospel being preached that says, hey, you can do whatever you want as long as you say a prayer, as long as you say you believe in Jesus, you can live any which way you want. No, you can't. You can't. I mean, John the Baptist, who baptized them with a baptism of repentance, said, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. That means if you repented and you've changed, then there should be fruit in your life that indicates that there is change. Produce fruit. Mm-hmm. So they're asking, what should we do? What should we do? And he begins to tell them, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this. This is important. And I just keep going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right, and pray.
Right.
There's an expectation for us to take a look in the mirror and say, what has happened? Where did we turn away?
Mm-hmm.
And journey back, turn our hearts back to God. Listen, the only reason we haven't seen more of these heinous attacks is only because of the mercy of God. You know, I don't believe that God causes these things to happen. It's like I've often shared about this analogy. You know, if I'm walking with my kids, as I have in New York City and Manhattan and Times Square. I mean, cars and cabs and people are just all over the place. And I'm holding their hands, and all of a sudden we're crossing the street, and they yank their hand away from my hand and run into 42nd Street and get hit by a cab or a car. Or I didn't do that. They left my they left my protection. They went out and did their own thing. And this is what happens. This is what happens when we let go of the hand of God. This is what happens when we say we don't need God in our schools. We don't want under God in our Pledge of Allegiance. This is what happens when we fight to take a nativity scene outside of a public building. This is what happens when we try to scrape away the Ten Commandments from a courtroom, no less. We're yanking our hands away from God. And then we're saying, well, we don't know why this is happening.
Mm-hmm. And then we're blaming God for it.
Then we blame God for it. Listen, it's time. It's time for you, if you're a believer, Christian, it's time for you to the Bible tells us to evaluate ourselves to see if we're still in the faith.
All right.
To do a heart check, to understand where are you today with God, and to begin a prayer life if you don't pray, and to begin to abide and spend time with Jesus. We've been saying for quite a while on this program, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. But you know what? It's going to be some of the best of times for those who know their God. Daniel says, those who know their God will do great exploits. But a lot of people, a lot of believers want to do great exploits, but they don't even know God. They don't know God. We're not saying knowing about Him, knowing of Him. There's so many people today you run into say, oh, they can quote you scriptures. They can tell you every story in the Bible. But when you ask them a simple question, who is Jesus to you? They can't even answer that. Think about that. You can't even answer, who is Jesus to you? Does it matter how many scriptures you know? Does it matter how many times you attended Bibles, you know, Bible school or any Sunday lesson? Or it just doesn't matter. What matters is that you know Jesus Christ and that He knows you and that you have a relationship with Him. And I'll tell you that if we turn our hearts back to God as a church, as a nation, then we'll begin to see a massive move of God sweep our nation. I mean, that's what we're believing for. We're believing for a third great awakening. We have never been in such a place, think about it, where we need an awakening to spread across the entire country. And when you look at just all these different things that are happening all around the United States, and then you look at what's happening around the world with Egypt, with the Gaza Strip, with Israel, with Syria, with Ukraine, with the Ebola in Africa. I mean, just start adding up all these different things. At the same time, the persecution of Christians has been cranked up like never before. Miriam Ibrahim has just been released. Thank the Lord. And praise God for all the prayers that went up for her. For Saeed Abedini, who's still in prison today, and we're going to talk about his vigil, but he's still in prison today in Iran. For all the Christians that have had their heads cut off in recent days, let me tell you, now more than ever is the time to wake up, to be alert, to turn your heart back to God, and to pray. And to pray, because listen, those, you know, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Those who are with us and with God are far more than those that are against God. And I'm telling you that if we turn our hearts back to Him, we will see a lot of this stuff just go away. It'll be dealt with, because we're going to see a rising of the church, the awakened ones, and they're going to do great exploits. And we're going to snatch those that are bound, that are imprisoned, that are locked up. Spiritually, God's going to set them free.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.